One day Einstein has to speak on a science at university. On the way there, he tells the driver, just happens to be, look a little bit like him. He says, I'm sick of all these conferences, all these speeches. I do the same speech and cover the same things over and over. Nothing ever seems to be new. The driver agrees, you know you're right. He says, I attend all of them. And even though I don't know anything about science at all, I could give that speech just as well, maybe better than you. Think so, says Einstein? Let's switch places then. So the driver pulls over in the rest area, they switch clothes, and as soon as they arrive, the driver dresses Einstein, goes on stage, starts giving the speech, while the real Einstein, dressed as the car driver, sits in the crowd. And he does a great job of giving the speech. Einstein's even impressed. But in the crowd, there's one scientist student that wants to impress all his classmates and thinks that it's a difficult question to ask Einstein, hoping he just won't be able to answer. So this guy stands up, interrupts the speech, yells out his question. The whole room goes silent, holding their breath, waiting for a response. The driver looks at him dead in the eyes and says, sir, your question is so easy. I'm surprised that someone like you get in a universe like this. Just to show you what that question is, I'm going to my driver answer for you. Today we're starting our Christmas series, Songs of the Season, with Mary and Elizabeth, for a look at whose lives was really disrupted. Watch this.
People look at me like I'm hiding some big secret. I know what I saw. And I know I said yes and I meant it, but is this what I said yes to?
Oh, try not to worry too much. I know from experience that the Lord has a grand way of getting us all on board with his plan. I've laughed more in these 6 months than I have in my whole life.
Well, I wish I could say the same, but Joseph isn't laughing. I mean, he's not laughing at all.
Well, maybe Joseph needs to take some advice from Zechariah. He hasn't said a thing about our situation.
Is it true? Zechariah hasn't been able to speak since you found out you were pregnant?
Isn't it wonderful?
Maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just... wonderful.
If the Lord has chosen an old woman beyond her years and a young woman before her time, who are we to argue with him?
Shouldn't I feel more joyful? Because all I keep thinking is, why me?
Mary, this child has been written about for hundreds of years by the prophets. And now it's coming to pass just as the Lord said it would. Oh, joy is not found in knowing why or how God does anything. The joy comes in saying yes to him when he calls.
Well, I guess I did do that.
Oh, yes, you did, my girl.
We are so blessed, Mary, that the Lord has fulfilled his promises to us through us.
The Lord has come. Let earth receive. lives had had quite a turn. The term disrupted certainly fits into their life that they're facing and things that they're starting to go through and experience. No one would have expected those things to happen in the moments that they did. And maybe you can relate. Maybe there's something in your life that just sort of, you know, came to you unexpected. Have you ever, like, just, you know, ran headlong into something you just did not expect, and sort of took you off guard? Maybe you can sort of relate to their story that way. Maybe not the same way, but and listen, if you haven't ran something headlong, unexpectedly, just wait. You probably will. But let's look back at how it all started. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28 says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, that all sounds sweet, exciting even, in those moments. I mean, until we understand that this young, likely teenage girl who's engaged to be married now has a little explaining to do. How could she begin to explain this to her parents? To her fiancé, who she's been married to? Well, basically, everyone she loves and cares for. How is she going to do that? I mean, that's a lot of explaining to do. I mean, something that's never happened before. No one ever heard of this before. I mean, yeah, they had the prophecies, they had the things in the Old Testament, but to have experience in their lifetime, they never experienced that before in their lifetime. And so it's here in this story that we find out how Mary's life enters a life of disruption. And it begins with, I'm going to give three points. And point number is this: an untimely timing. It begins with untimely timing. And you likely know at least a little of Mary's story. What about Zacharias? Zachariah and Elizabeth. What about them? Elizabeth, our passage says, is in her sixth month of pregnancy. That same woman. If we back up a few verses, we read this about them. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, "In the town of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zachariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they're both very old." Now, you know how old that is? Beyond childbearing years. They had not had children at this point, and now we find that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Their life is a little disrupted as well, I think. And so Luke describes this older couple beyond childbearing age. He describes them as good people, righteous people, living a life of faith. When Zachariah is a priest, yet something is missing. They were without children. In a culture that placed a lot of emphasis and value on having children, this couple had none. And maybe, again, you can relate to them. You've had some expectations in your life that just didn't come as you expected. The story continues. And maybe even that fits that when I met in the process. But let's continue the story. Luke 1, 11 through 13. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, sat the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." The angel's encounter with Elizabeth and Zachariah reminds us that God's timing is not always our timing, but it's always perfect. It's perfect even when it seems untimely. His timing's always right on time. And just as Elizabeth, who was thought to be beyond childbearing years, conceives a child in her later life or old age, we can trust God in the good times as well as the untimely times, the difficult times, the challenging times that come our way. Hear this, church. There will be surprises along this journey. Unexpected moments. Untimely times that we just, sort of got the breath knocked out of us sometimes. There will be blessings beyond our imagination, and there will be struggles that may bring us to our knees. But in the midst of all of that, there's a promise from God's word in Isaiah chapter 41 that says this: "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's a promise we can stand on, knowing that God is there to help us, guide us, direct us, teach us, show us everything that he needs to do in our lives, around us and through us. And I can imagine Zechariah, this well-schooled priest, maybe quoting this scripture to his wife Elizabeth, or to Mary, or to both. And it maybe shocked Elizabeth as she realizes she will be giving birth in what we understand to be her twilight years, as we have known to call it. Maybe thinking, how can this even be? She may have asked, possibly even screamed, "How can this be?" Yet God was working in her life and simultaneously preparing her to be a significant voice in the ear of this young teenage girl who's going to come visit. The words, "Do not fear, for I am with you," would have been appropriate for Elizabeth and Zechariah. And friends, if you're experiencing an untimely time today, please hear this. God is for you. God is with you. God loves you. Amid all of life's disruptions, you can place your trust in him. God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Not only do we see an untimely timing, but we also see our point number two as an unexpected encouragement. Let's return to Mary's story. She's been informed by an angel that she, a virgin, was going to conceive a son, would be called Jesus. She gets that news. We also are told that her much older relative Elizabeth, we saw in the video, will give birth. And so Luke continues in verses 39 to 45 of chapter 1 this. He says, "At the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear.'" Verse 43, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby, verse 43, but why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? Verse 44, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary and Elizabeth joyfully reminds us of the power of community. That's why we meet together, to encourage one another, to hold each other up in those disruptive times of life, those untimely times that we just have the wind knocked out of us. So it teaches the power of community and encouragement. Elizabeth's explanation of blessed are you may have been the first positive words that Mary heard in a long time. Days, even weeks. I mean, after all, she had explained this to Joseph, had explained this to her parents, had explained to everybody around that knew them how this happened. I saw an angel. Yeah, like, I'm going to believe that, by the way. Especially those that didn't ever see an angel. In a world not unlike ours, often obsessed with judging others, the relationship shows us that the strength that comes from supporting and uplifting one another, there's strength in that. When you can support one another, uplift one another, be there when someone's going through those difficult storms of life. I love how the Apostle Paul tells the church at Thessalonica. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He's saying just keep doing what you're doing. Keep encouraging one another. Keep building one another up. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then the writer of Hebrews writes this. In Hebrews 10:24-25 it says, discover creative ways. I love that. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. But even more so than the idea of encouraging and standing with and supporting one another, it also is even probably of greater essence, more so. It shows us that there's strength that comes in trusting God's word. God had fulfilled the promises in and through Mary and Elizabeth. He had fulfilled the promise that he had told years ago through prophets of Isaiah and different things. He just mentioned that. And so right before the very eyes, they're getting to see the whole thing come to fruition, getting to see everything done the way it's supposed to be done. And here they were, and so they're seeing everything just come to pass. They can trust God's word. They know that God's word is good. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascend to the glory to God for his glory. When God fulfills the promises he's called us to, when God fulfills the promises that he's given his word to through us and with us and to us, it gives glory to him. Amen? It lets people see that he is faithful to his word, faithful to what he said is true, faithful to everything about. He is a good God. And we're going to give from Isaiah. We have these words concerning God in Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Zechariah may have turned this passage for encouragement. Maybe told Elizabeth, Mary, or both of them. We'll never know for sure, but one thing we know is evident. During this season, as we exchange gifts and share time with loved ones. May we recall the importance of being a source of encouragement to those around us. May we never overlook the words from Isaiah, "In our weakness, God is our strength." Whether young or old, may we run and not grow weary. May we walk and not faint as we follow wherever God leads us to go. So not only do we have an untimely time, untimely timing, and untimely encouragement, but lastly we have this, an unmatched miracle. Unmatched miracle. In our ever chaotic, for lack of better terms, or disrupted lives, let's pause this Christmas season to embrace the untimely timing that life brings our way. And we look for opportunities to be the source of unexpected encouragement among those we encounter. And all of the trappings that so often cloud the reason for the season, may we not miss the unmatched miracle that unfolds in the lives of these two babies born 6 months apart, all those years ago. One, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way." The other, the one from whom the way was prepared, Jesus. We read from the Gospel of John, in John 1, 24 and 26. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know." And then the next scripture, verse 29, says this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The one they didn't know, there he is. The unmatched miracle is this, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have his life." That is the unmatched miracle. That is a reason to celebrate the season. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Do you know him? If not, please know this. Even in the middle of life's disruptions, as the video showed us earlier, there's joy in saying yes to God. During the message, we didn't say much about Zacharias. And truth is, dads sometimes get, you know, lost in telling the story of the birth. Sometimes it just happens. But they're important just the same. Luke tells us and lets us know that Zechariah was a righteous priest who served God and his people. And in Luke's account, we see that Zechariah is in the temple offering incense, burning incense, when the angel comes to visit. He's offering his incense, a fragrant offering to God. Little could he have known what God's big plans had for him and Elizabeth. They would have a son, John the Baptist, in case you're not really familiar, sure, because there's John, Apostle John, Mother John. I mean, there's John's a common name back then, it's a common name today, but whatever. But they'd have John. And John would prepare the way for the coming Messiah, Jesus. A Messiah who Paul would later write in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. George Clooney. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Zechariah in the temple sending a fragrant sacrifice offering to God when the angel visited him. Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Coincidence? I don't think so. And we have an opportunity, I hope, as the letter shows, to be a fragrant offering to God. So as we get ready to leave this place today, may we do so as imitators of God, as dearly loved children covered in his fragrance, being a pleasing aroma to God in everything we do and how we live, even in a season of disruptions, in a season that seems sometimes so chaotic. Let us move through the stores and move through our workplaces, move through life with all disruptions as a fragrant offering to the one who loved us, the one who gave us everything, so that we might really be able to tell others about how good our God is. Because listen, sometimes we're the only book that people read.
Sometimes.
What chapter are you going to write? I hope we're in a chapter that is really just says, God, I want to offer you the sacrifice of praise. Even with life's disruptions, I want to give you everything. When difficult moments come, I still want to serve you. In good times and bad times, I still want to love you. I'm still going to thank you. I'm going to carry on the gratitude of Thanksgiving on to next week and next year and next season. I want to always say thank you. Even when life disruptions come and there's untimely times, I want to be an encouragement to those around me that they can, you know that song that, I don't remember who sang it, Lean On Me? Who sang that? Anybody know? I don't remember who sang it, but Lean On Me, Lean On Me. And just, lean on Jesus, man. We can lean on him. His shoulders are big. Love is great. He is everything.
Bill Withers.
There you go. Thank you. And just remember to be a fragrance to those around us, an aroma that they can say, wow, God was being tremendous. Because even disruptions, you still serve him with everything about you. So, Father, today we come to you. Lord, I know it must have been difficult for Mary to go and do and Mom and Dad were thinking she's lying. No one understood, because no one had ever experienced it like that. And Father, sometimes there's things in life that happen in our direction, our ways, that we just don't quite understand. There's things that we look like they come to us on timely time, but it's always right on time. In a world that is so quick to judge, it's so quick to lay out the negative and to just, when you fall, say, "See, I told you." Let's be encouragement to one another. Lift each other up. Stand strong with one another, God. Stand the gap for those that may not even know you. Pray for those that they might come to know you better. On you in everything we do, God, for then will be a sweet aroma that you are pleased with. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise with thanksgiving in our hearts, joy in our spirits. Church said.